author of the song that's on your bulletin cover, gets a prize. And so Beth Patillo Miller was able to name that. That comes from Christine or Christy?
Christine
McPhee of Fleetwood Mac. And you're going to hear a different version of that song at the end of this sermon by Lucy Wainwright. The other thing I want to say before I read this sermon is that the texts were so rich this week that I got as far as the Samuel reading and the psalm and never got to the gospel. So I think I'm going to save that John gospel for another sermon. So I just want you to be prepared ahead of time that you won't hear me reference John. Please join me in prayer. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we've moved into call in this well-known scripture. A young Samuel is being called in the middle of the night by God, all of 12 or 13 years old, the age a boy becomes a man, a bar mitzvah age. And Samuel, whose name in Hebrew means heard by God, and Eli, or Eli, the high priest who takes Samuel in, Eli meaning my God. So here's what we can learn just at face value from this scripture about God's calling. Just skim the surface with me, if you will. First, we, like Samuel, often miss God's call. We mistake God's call for something or someone else, not just once, but three times, meaning repeatedly. This is our nature, especially in a culture of 24-hour news cycles, social media, smartphones. It's noisier than ever. And if you doubt that it's affecting us, just read the studies on teenage anxiety and depression rates. So the first thing we learn is that we should all be finding time to practice listening. Second, to hear God's call is to give into acceptance. Here I am. We belong to God, to accept that we have been claimed in love. Here I am, here I am. A complete giving over and giving in to God's will. Here I am. Third, none of that is easy. And just like the part of scripture you didn't hear, what God is calling on you to say or do is not always easy or pretty. In the passage following what you heard, Samuel is called by God to share terrible news with Eli. Eli, the man who has taken Samuel into his home, who's helped raise him. Eli, a high priest responsible for Samuel's ability to finally hear God's call, and God tells Samuel that he's about to destroy Eli's legacy because of the sins of Eli's son, and Eli knows it's coming. And he even encourages the young boy to give it to him straight. So Samuel will go on to become prophet, judge, and priest. Those are his titles. But we know very little about his personality. So here's what we do know. He was frightened by the divine revelation at night in chapter that you heard this morning. Later in chapter 8, he's angry when the people demand a king. And then still later in chapter 15, he grieves over Saul's rejection by God. So this Samuel is frightened, angry, and grieving. And those are not the first qualities we think of when we think of a larger-than-life biblical character who becomes priest and judge and prophet. But Samuel was called into fighting the good fight, called for a purpose larger than himself, and when one does that, call is not easy and not pretty. And as Jesus would remind us, to take up a cross is to often experience rejection and even death. And that's what makes This scripture is especially fitting for this Sunday, the day before we remember Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who knew that his calling would be anything but easy. And those that heard God's call to follow King knew it wouldn't be easy as well. And those who didn't follow look back through history and now know what they didn't know then, that they were on the wrong side of history. And in today's climate, it's perhaps more important than ever to listen for how God is calling. And maybe you're like me and like Samuel. You're frightened and you're angry and grieving for a country that is giving in to fear, a country that I personally have trouble recognizing as the one I once knew, which is why it's also more important than ever to persevere and to trust and to listen and to respond by saying, "Here I am," as a follower of Jesus Christ, to trust these words spoken by King, quoting Theodore Parker, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." That is not a quote about politics. It's a quote about what God is doing. And those are the words I quoted 2 years ago. And I say them again today with more questions and even more doubt about our future than I did 2 years ago. But my doubt only reinforces my faith in God, who I call upon to save me from myself, from my fear and my anger and my grief. We call and God hears, and God calls and we listen. And as a people committed to following Jesus Christ, we are called to love in the face of hatred, even those we know in our hearts of hearts that they are wrong. We find a way to forgive even though we're angry. And we find a way to stay in conversation even though we are frightened. Because we are first and foremost children of God's, and our unifying principle is one that's rooted in a God who is always working for peace and for mutuality and unity for all God's people. So that's a social, universal calling. And it's a foundational, unifying call, and it lives in the center of our Reformed faith. Gosh, if only I had some water. So that's sermon number one. I had about four in me this week. Here's sermon number two. You're only getting two. There's another way to understand call, and it feeds into the collective, but it begins with the highly personal. It's one that lives more quietly in relationship, and it's between you and God. And we heard it this morning in the psalm. "Lord, you have searched me and known me. You discern my thoughts from far away. Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And if I say, 'Surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night,' even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." God's calling you, personally, calling each and every one of us into realizing the fullest expression of you. And written in the beauty of that psalm is how I understand relationship. never-ending, constant, and filled with intention. God's calling you to be in relationship with God, which means a constant listening for where God is tugging at you and pulling you and pushing you and nurturing you and challenging you, and that voice you're listening for will sometimes be indistinguishable from your own, because God lives as intimately within us as our own breath is our own life-affirming breath. And God is also beyond us. So large we can't grasp God, contain God, or fully understand God, both and, intimate and mysterious, all wrapped up in God's calling into an ever-deepening relationship. And because the universal lives in the personal, the universal lives in the personal and the particular, let me share with you how God called to me this week and how I experienced my own epiphany in the season of epiphany. And I share this in the hope that you will see yourself in it and witness your own experience of epiphanies to others. So before I read this scripture, and that detail is important, before I read what the scripture was for this Sunday, I was in bed one night tossing and turning, which I've learned not to try to fight, but to accept it. And so I have practices like reciting the 23rd Psalm, or counting my blessings, or singing from White Christmas, I fall asleep counting my blessings, which sounds a lot like a litany of thank yous. Thank you, God, for this in my life. Thank you, God, for that. But this particular night, I heard that same thank you, only it wasn't my thank you from me to God, but it had somehow flipped, and now it was coming from God to me, half asleep. And I wish I could tell you that God's voice sounded deep and booming like Dennis's, you know, when he reads scripture, but it was my own voice, which is why I think I didn't think much of it at the time. Oh, I felt much. I felt a calm sense of peace, and I fell back to sleep delighted in that feeling. But once the morning came, I was on to the next thing, and I tabled the experience. And then 2 or 3 days later, in Bible study, after reading this scripture for the 3rd or the 4th time, it hit me that God had called to me in the middle of the night, not unlike Samuel. I had experienced a kind of epiphany, and I think that's often how epiphanies work. It hits us later. In retrospect, we look back and we realize that God's presence was with us and revealing to us something that we needed to hear. And let me add here that God was not thanking me and under any heading of some kind of ego trip. It was a place of compassion, because what keeps me up at night is concern or worry or borrowing trouble, as Gladys likes to call it. And lately, it's concern for all of you, the people I'm falling for, and concern that I'm falling for you. My concern is that I don't have a proper sense of boundaries. You know, they teach you about proper boundaries in seminary, and I'm pretty sure I'm flunking, because I don't know how to distance myself and detach. I sink in. That's who I am. And I don't know how to fulfill this call any other way. So that's what was keeping me up that particular night. And so the gift that God gave me was in 2 simple words. The same ones I had been saying were now being said back to me, "Thank you." Now, when we leave here, your job is not to make this okay for me. Do not worry about my worrying. God and I will work that out together. I have this wonderful call, and God is speaking and taking care of me. That's not your job. But what I hope for in sharing all of this is that you can hear in my story your own encounters with God. And God's call to you is intimate, and it's an invitation into deeper love with God. It's the song on your bulletin cover, a call from God to you, or a call from you to God. It's both, and the more you call out for God, the more you will hear God call out for you. This reciprocal relationship of call lives in every part of our lives, not just in nature, not just in a yoga class or a meditation, but every moment, because you can't get away from God. Frederick Buechner, listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery it is in the boredom and the pain of it, no less than in the excitement and the gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it, because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. Amen.
Can you hear me calling out your name? You know that I've fallen and I don't know what to say. Speak a little.